This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah. Oh, my God, look at this. Get your head right on a Friday. It's Ben and Woods back at home in the mothership, the Entercom Evil Empire. We are here, and it feels, I can't tell you how good this feels. It feels like a fall morning that's really crisp outside, and you have nothing to do, and no one is going to bother you, and you have a real comfortable blanket, little touch of a hangover, lying on the couch. You got like 4 football games to watch. That's how it feels to be back in studio this morning. And God bless, man. This has been the longest effing week I think I can remember. We had the winter meetings. Obviously, we were on site. I think it went really well until yesterday. I thought it went really well. Yesterday was one of the tougher shows to get through. Little bit like being on the Titanic, I felt at times. But listen, I think it happens to everybody. We kind of we expected maybe a little bit more yesterday, and it was dead. I mean, it was a ghost town in that building. But it's good to be back. It's good to see our assistant producer, Alex, the Hammer Perlin. I missed you, buddy.
I miss you guys so much.
Man, it sucked not having you down there.
We're not doing any more remotes.
No more remotes. Ever again. I mean, listen, here's the new rule, right?
If you're going to go on vacation, bring the dog.
That's exactly right, dude.
You can't just leave me at home. I mean, I appreciate the dog sitter that you guys gave me. Jordan was awesome.
Jordan was great. He did a phenomenal job.
But I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too, man. It's not the same. You develop these habits and you become a creature of habit. And once the habit gets broken, you're like, I don't like this. This is not cool at all. Our executive producer did a phenomenal job all week. Great job, Pauly, getting us dialed in, keeping us dialed in, running around down there. It was not easy. It was not an easy 4 days. It was, I mean, look, relatively speaking, it was fairly easy. But, you know, for what we do, we like being here in the studio. It's where Pauly worked his magic on the boards over there. We got Hammer here. It just feels better being here. And it's good to be back. Me and Paul caught some of that crud that's been going around, and trying to kind of fight through that the last couple of days. I'm like a roller coaster. I feel awful. Then I feel great. And then I feel terrible again, and I'm kind of right now on that upswing of feeling good. But, you know, it's a lot of people got it. It's going around. We shook a lot of hands this week. I want to give a big shout-out to all the Tier 1s that came out and just hung out with us. It was crazy. There's other local radio stations there. They didn't have 15 people standing around watching them broadcast. It felt really good. So thank you guys for being out there and coming and saying hello. There's a couple of you I blame for getting me sick, but that's fine. It's no big deal, Carlos. But yeah, I mean, other than that, dude, it was a really, really fun time. We got Tyler Roy, special guest, in today. It's Paul's buddy. It's our Tier 1 takeover. Now, usually the Tier 1 takeovers roll in about 7. Tyler's like, nah, man, I'm coming in at 5. I want to see the whole 5 o'clock, how it starts at 5 and goes till 9. So welcome to Tyler. And if you want to be a in-studio guest, just go sign up on our website. I'd give you the address. I don't know it, so
973thefansd.com.
Thank you, Hammer.
Go to the Ben and Woods page.
Yeah, go to the Ben and Woods page. Then it's like very involved to find the sign up, and then
it's
you
really
sign
not.
Up.
I think it's yeah. as soon as you click Ben and Woods' page, and this it's is right then and there.
This is Paul's softball buddy. It's weird that he got picked, right? Like that's so strange how randomly he showed up and got picked on a Friday.
We do this very random.
It's
by the
so
way.
Random.
We
by
really
the way.
Do.
Hey, if I look right now at the database, he signed up.
Absolutely, he signed up.
I don't
it's
know
just weird
about.
That the wheel. Fell on him. So it's good to have Tyler in this morning. My co-host Ben will be here shortly. And man, it's been a really fun week. We've met a ton of people. We saw a ton of people. My proudest moments are seeing AJ Hinch walk by and beating on the table.
Legendary.
Yeah, yeah. And then Paul and I walked right by Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox. And he looked at me, I looked at him, and I just looked away. I'm not going to give you any props. F you. I don't like you.
See, you can give Alex Cora props, maybe not necessarily for being the Boston Red Sox manager, but for everything else that this guy's done in his life.
Well, he's part of the cheating scandal, too, so.
Okay, never mind.
Saw him and Carlos Beltran coming up the escalator together.
It's trippy.
Like, what do you think they're talking about?
I know, right?
Carlos Beltran.
How do we get out of this?
It was
how
like
do we
the
get
day
out of this?
After Manfred addressed like the whole cheating scandal, and you see them walking like, huh.
Bro, it was fantastic to be down there, but it's even better to be home. And yeah, I don't ever want to do another remote unless they're paying some exorbitant amount. This is where I want to be here at Entercom. And we were here last night, most of us, for the Entercom holiday party. Now, Hammer, you had to work again.
Once again, missing out on all
God, the man, we got it. I'm telling you, man, we keep stringing together a good run here on Ben and Woods. I swear to God, my first order of business be like, you make that kid full time.
Awesome.
I need Hammer full. I need him to quit Nordstrom. You know, because you're still going to get your discount with your mom, and you don't need to be working two jobs. Full-time, send you out to do stuff for us and be part of the show, and that's what I really want, man. I'm going to put that on my Christmas list.
That would be an awesome Christmas miracle. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
I think at this point it would be a Christmas miracle. Yeah. But
never know, though.
You never do know. But the party last night was unbelievable here at the office. There's Sarah Perry. I didn't see Sarah at the party last night. That was kind of a bummer. But
yeah, what was that?
I don't know, man. There was a few people that didn't show up. But let me tell you, we walked in and
blame
it was
on the Henry.
It was awesome. They had catering. They had
who catered?
Who did cater?
I didn't catch. It was a catering company.
Catering company. I mean, but like full
not Olive Garden
or Popeyes.
No Popeyes. Full cheese boards like. Chicken parm, the whole thing, cannoli, tiramisu, my son, bro. I brought Bo with me, my two-year-old.
People weren't happy, I heard.
They weren't happy, but, dude, the guy walks in and steals the show.
Is why people aren't happy.
Right.
Because you got John and Rob, you know, from the other stations yeah. that are like, I don't want this guy stealing all of my mojo, which he, of course, did.
He totally did. So check this out.
Bye-bye.
So there's a...
legendary guy.
They're the sales assistants over there. They're not... they're not unattractive. I'll say that. They're attractive gals. And Bo's no dummy, so I kind of put him down, and you see their eyes light up when he walks in. So Bo looks around, and he looks in, and he picks one immediately. Her name's Skylar. She's a tall, attractive blonde.
He has a type.
And he walks right over to her and, like, snuggles in next to her and then gives her his Grinch. He was holding his Grinch stuffed animal. It's over. Like, the kid, He really gets it. He gets it already. Ben and Shelly were here last night, and me and Hannah and Paul and Megan. And
now, they stayed later than we did.
Yeah, they did.
How late do you think they stayed here?
I wonder, man.
Ben just going to be hammered?
Ben doesn't get hammered.
I know. It bugs me.
It bugs me, too.
I've never seen him drunk.
I'm going to get him drunk sometime.
I've been told by people in the know.
Shelly.
A very select group of people have seen Ben really sauced up.
Shelly told me she
said it's the greatest thing you'll ever see.
Shelly said
life.
Like one time that he was like lit.
See, I'd rather like me and Ben like sit down and like share a blunt together. I'd rather get stoned with Ben more than anything in the world. Like that over getting drunk would be hilarious with Ben.
Ben stoned. I think he would just get really quiet.
But see, if we get in the right environment, like we put on the right movies or we're doing something fun, maybe go laser tagging. I don't know. It'd be hilarious.
I'm in. If you guys can swing that, I'm all the way on board for it. But, dude, the other thing is...
Exhale, just got an ounce in the mail.
The other thing is you run into people here that you know work here, like people I worked with in the past, but they work weekends and they work nights and you don't get to see them, and I did. And I remembered, like, man, there are some really good people in this town, in media, and not everybody in this business is a, you know, an arrogant, backstabbing little bitch, basically.
You know who you are.
Yeah, there's like seven of you who know who you are. but no, you see these people and you're like, dude, I haven't seen you in so long. And big hugs. Frank Anthony.
I was just going to say, you cannot go on any further.
Frank freaking Anthony was a guy we worked with at 1090. He was also the voice of the Padres, the PA guy for forever.
You heard him on Max 105.7.
Frank Anthony everything. Is the greatest human being alive. I saw him last night. He played in the band that was here. And I went up and gave him the biggest hug. He's the nicest guy in radio ever. And I see him and I'm like, I wish you were my grandfather. I put my arms around him and he's like, Woodsy, how you doing, man? And he's just so kind and so nice. Paul walks in the room last night. He's up on stage. He goes, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the best producer in the business, Paul Reindel. I mean, the guy's so freaking great.
Love him.
Frank Anthony was here. Steve West, who is an absolute legend in this town. And Steve's battling cancer right now. And I see Steve West, and he runs up and gives my wife and baby a hug. And it just, it killed me. And I had to warn Bo, if you get, Steve West is a musical legend in this town. If you get trapped with Steve West, it doesn't matter how old you are, because Steve West will be like, hey, listen, Bo, come over here. I'd like to show you a CD I burned in 1979. Roxy Music played at the Troubadour, and I was there. And you're like, 40 minutes, you get stuck with Steve West.
Oh, yeah.
He's the greatest, though. He's the greatest dude alive. Dan Brozo is another one, works for 94.9 on the Sunday show, one of my best friends. Never see him. And you just remember, man, all the relationships you built, all the great people that are here. Not everybody has to be an a-hole, and It was awesome. Had a great, great time. So it's good to be here. Good to be back with you guys this morning. We have talked way more sports this week than I ever had any desire. It's been a year's worth of sports talk in a week, and I don't know why. I don't want to talk much sports today. Ben was going to make me, but you will see me push back today. I want to talk about Christmas and Hanukkah, for hammer's sake. I want to talk about everything. I want to take it easy today. I really do. I mean, there's some stuff we have to get to, obviously, but, man, let's have some fun today. Thank you guys, Tier 1s, for tuning in. Thanks for showing up and supporting all week. You guys were incredible. Ben will be here soon. We did manage to snag one pretty good interview yesterday with Sweeney Murdy from WFAN in New York. Sweeney's a badass, man, and knows it all. And kind of talking about the state of baseball in New York right now. And look, I mean, some people are probably listening and rolling their eyes. Dude, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy in New York. If you're a baseball fan, you'll love this interview coming up next on our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Sweeney Murdy. We will be right back. I'm figuring it out. That is a banger right there. Stone Roses. Love spreads. Love does spread. Real good. On Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Waiting on Benny to get here right now. Me and Paulie a little under the weather. We'll be fighting through it. We got plenty of dope in here, Paul, to keep us nice and high.
We've already medicated a
for little. The next 3 hours and 45 minutes. We've got a big soccer match tonight. Celebrity soccer match, if you will. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that later on in the show. We're getting fun. Let's have some fun today on a Friday. Let's get wild. Ben will be reading raps at some point today because he has not read a rap, and it feels like a year. We got Mazone in now, little plus one of our tier one, Tyler. It's weird how it all works out on a Friday afternoon. We grabbed Sweeney Murdy yesterday. We've had him on the show before plenty. And he was walking by the table. You can tell he really didn't want to come on with us, but we made him.
I would have paid him cash out of my wallet.
100%. Like we were desperate. We were dying when Sweeney jumped on, and you can hear the excitement in our voice.
He was doing the whole like looking at his phone and kind like, of walking away while I'm talking. I'm like, hey, I like threw my headset down. I got up from the table and followed.
I got to
like,
get
hey,
a coffee, maybe.
You got 5 minutes?
Yeah, and he was great, and I'm glad we grabbed him. So here it is from yesterday from WFAN, Sweeney Murdy. Sweeney Murdy, we've had on
Hi
before.
Guys,
how you doing,
you?
Man?
Good.
Welcome to Ben and Woods. Nice to meet you in person. And, you know, we're like the last four guys left here.
Right, yeah.
I feel like the world ended and it's just us left in downtown San Diego.
We're in the library. We have to be quiet.
You think the Yankees are going to take a Rule 5 pick this morning to go with Garrett Cole?
Why are you here?
I've strategically learned now. The minute the Rule 5 draft starts is when I'm headed to the airport.
Yeah,
today.
Genius.
I know that nothing's. You know, it only took me 19 years to figure out not to stay for the Rule 5 draft.
How come rules 1 through 4 don't get a draft either?
Right,
I have no idea how this works.
Your first joke was funny. Your second joke was terrible.
Sorry.
Just stick with the one. Go with your gut. But Sweeney Murdy is here joining us now on Ben and Woods. We've talked to you before. Pretty big week for the Yanks, I would say. Getting the best pitcher on the planet to anchor that rotation that should be pretty good next year.
When the free agency started, I kind of looked at this and said, you know, there's a Yankee pattern if you look at it. And they've covered the last 25 years by going after and locking up long-term frontline pitchers, starting with David Cone.
Yep.
And then when Cone was done, they went right to Mike Mussina. Mike Mussina retired. They signed CC Sabathia. Well, guess who retired this year was CC Sabathia. And next in line, he said, okay, these guys are available. You knew who Cole was. You knew the history with Garrett Cole. You know kind of where he stands right now and obviously the season that he put up. You look at the fact that Masahiro Tanaka and James Paxton can be free agents after next season. You look at the Yankees in a championship window and you say, okay, everything's lining up for them to get that next guy and line it up again. So now this is going to stretch out over 30 years with four, you know, you sign number one guys. They don't finish as number one guys
because
they get older.
They get older,
but,
yeah.
You sign these guys and you get them to the point where, okay, this is leading our rotation, and especially now, you're making the statement, okay? Garrett Cole is leading our rotation, and we're the New York Yankees. That's what they're saying right now.
And observing the Yankees from afar, I mean, I'm not a fan like Woods is. It does seem that, you know, Hank Steinbrenner has never been George Steinbrenner.
Nobody
Hal,
will ever.
The team.
Hal.
Yeah. Hal Steinbrenner.
Hank's
Hal's
brother
Hank,
who Hal. Was
okay.
in charge
See,
for a little
I don't know the Yankees quite well, but not George. This feels a little more George-ish, though.
George-esque.
This move. George-esque of signing, going that extra, going to 9 years, making sure that they get Garrett Cole when you know other teams like the Dodgers, the Angels, who have deep, deep pockets are in on him as well, that let's just do it and blow it out and make sure we get him.
Yeah, I've never liked the comparison because I think it's a different world, a different economic landscape, a different CBA that is, you know, remember, there were so many changes put in to the way the finances operate, including luxury tax. After the last Yankee dynasty, what MLB was trying to do was to make sure that the Yankees just didn't keep winning World Series. And guess what? They succeeded.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So, but they can't keep them from being good every year, but they can make it harder for one team like the Yankees to just run off championships. And, you know, that's what's happened. But I think every once in a while, I always think that there's a player out there that makes Hal Steinbrenner have his Gene Wilder moment from Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
When he understands and remembers what his last name is and what his ultimate destiny is. And he's screaming from the mountaintop right now, I am Steinbrenner.
I'm Steinbrenner. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously big legacy.
Steinbrenner.
Steinbrenner, yes.
Third joke's okay.
That was good. Two for three.
Yeah.
Two for three is not bad, Benny. We are joined by Sweeney Murdy from WFAN in New York. You cover the Mets, too, or is it Yankee specific?
Only when I'm out here.
Only when you're out here, yeah. Well, the Mets have added a couple of arms, but, I mean, they have good pitching. They did lose Zach Wheeler. They picked up Michael Wacha, I believe, yesterday. And then
Rick Porcello
became official. Those are decent moves for the Mets and their new manager, Carlos Beltran.
If you look at the cost for these guys, and that's very important. I mean, and it's always the joke in New York that the Mets are always, you know, cost conscious and shopping the bargain
bin.
But I think it's true for a lot of teams. If you get the value out of, you know, I think you feel more confident in the value out of Porcello because he was healthier. And Waka's always been trying to come back from the injuries. But they signed Waka for $3 million with a chance to make $10 million. They signed Porcello for $10 million. Well, the Mets need some bullpen help. But they have two guys in Seth Lugo and Robert Gsellman who are probably better assets for them out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
If you look at who is available on the relief market, Blake Treinen signs for 1 year, $10 million.
Yep.
So, and, you know, ideally, how many innings is he going to throw? 50 or 60 versus the 150 or 60 that Porcello can get you? So you're adding, I think, value for value. If you're looking at what the Mets needed was bullpen help, but they signed starters to move some of their fringy guys' bullpen. Well, I think they're getting better value because they're getting more innings for that same amount of money than signing a Blake Treinen or a Dellin Betances or somebody like
well,
that.
Well, and the funny thing, you see it every year in the playoffs. It's how many starting pitchers go, oh, we have two aces? We're good. The three and the four can pitch out of the pen and they can spot start. And you saw what, like, Anibal Sanchez did last year, was able to eat so many innings for the Nationals. And it's changing. I did like the Yankees move of obviously you want to. He's the best pitcher on the planet, and you got him. Mm-hmm. And there he slots in at number one. He's your game one, game four, game seven guy if it goes seven. But I did also, I like how it's flipping again where let's not just bolster our bullpen for a deep pennant. Those guys are cashed at the end of the year. I mean, yeah. They're just gassed. They won the Yankees so many games, they were done.
Yeah, and people made a big deal about the way. Remember, there was a rainout in that series,
yep.
And that affected playing this consecutive days in a row. And they had one start in that series that kind of, it can blow up on you very easy.
Very quickly.
Even an ace can get knocked out in the second inning,
no
and everybody's
doubt.
Left scrambling. And if you're playing a bunch of games in a row, you're going to get locked into that situation. I thought there are no guarantees here. Remember, for all the pitching riches that the Astros had, they were forced to use an opener. And, yep. And a bullpen game in the playoffs. And I keep going back. People say, all right, here, lock it up for the Yankees. I saw a Phillies rotation this decade that had Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay, Cole Hamels, and Roy Oswalt losing a five-game division series. Yep. I saw a Tigers team that had Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Rick Porcello, yep. And Anibal Sanchez losing a five-game division
series.
So
true. It's so true.
How many games? 107 they won?
107.
107 wins. So there's not a lot of place you can go improvement regular season from 107. Plus, as you were telling me, the Yankees obviously battled injuries.
A ton. Yeah.
I mean, moves they make now have to be geared more toward winning postseason series. Right? I mean, you can't improve on 107
Well, to a degree. 103. 100 last year, 103 this
103.
Year. 103. You're right, but you just have to give yourself chances, and you're in a window right now. The problem is the Yankees are, if you look historically at Yankee history, when they have young stars, those young stars have won World Series early in their career. You're out of that window right now with Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. Now you're getting to the arbitration years and pretty soon trying to make decisions on whether or not you're going to
bring them
back, how long you're going to sign them, things like that. So you missed opportunity. Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera won two World Series in their first 3 years.
Yes.
Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio. And I understand. I just told you it's a different game. It's a different landscape. But the idea that you have young talent, you want to make sure that you capitalize like the Cubs did. Now they're in a point where they're going to start maybe trying to get rid of some of these
yep.
guys and try to start over again. So you want to capitalize on those windows. So what you're doing right now, the Yankees basically have just been in a window where they were championship caliber. They just didn't pull down a World
didn't
Series
win it.
Title.
Yeah.
We keep hearing people trying to sell us Giancarlo Stanton here in San Diego.
Why?
I don't know. I'm curious about that.
It keeps popping up, though.
I mean, there's some intrigue there. I mean, when he's healthy, man, you like to have a guy like that in the lineup. What is the Yankees' current stance on Giancarlo Stanton, that giant contract and his continuing health problems?
Last year was just a lost year. But remember, 2 years ago, in 2018, the Yankees had a lot of, they lost Aaron Judge for a little while, they lost Gary Sanchez multiple times. Giancarlo Stanton had a hamstring injury too, but he played through that. He was DH most second half of that season a lot. But he played 158 games. For all the talk about he's always hurt, well, he did play 158, and he had 38 homers, drove in 100 runs. Now, I understand you expect more from that, from the guy who hit 50 and was an MVP and all that the year before. I always think it's awful to try to get a guy after the best year of his career ever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to be a disappointment to some degree. But 38-100, playing 158 times on a bad hamstring, playing through an injury.
Carrying that team, too, and those times when Judge was down and Sanchez was down.
And I'll
well.
Give you this. I mean, you can't make up for the fact that he just wasn't there. But part of the reason he kept getting hurt was he kept trying to rehab quicker to get through the past injury, and he hurt something else.
Every time.
You know, he was. I guess injury prone isn't inaccurate for last year, but in his defense of what he was trying to do, he was trying to get back quicker and kept getting hurt. So maybe that wasn't the smartest tactic, but that's kind of how it went down.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. That is good stuff.
One last thing on the Mets, just before Sweeney goes. The Brody Van Wagenen dynamic, I'm always fascinated by this. It feels like the defense attorney just switched over to being a prosecutor.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see Scott Boras all of a sudden becoming a GM of a Major League Baseball team.
That's a huge pay cut for him. Yeah. Huge.
Well, that's
pay
true.
Cut
yeah.
for Scott Boras.
I mean, how is that working out for the Mets so far?
Well, I mean, it's weird. They're in a weird dynamic because he's now been in control for a year as the GM, and now all of a sudden it'd be an ownership change.
Yep.
So I don't know how that's going to affect him. You know, right now it's also more about the ownership situation because all they've really done is they kind of move money around. They haven't really advanced. You know, they tried to move money from one place to here and move it around back to there. And that's how they ended up with Cano last year. They thought Diaz was going to work out great as a closer, and he was a disaster last year. And that's part of the reason why you probably need to go after one of these, closer type guys to maybe give yourself some options. But as we just said, they covered a lot more innings right now by adding starters. You know, Brody has had 1 year, and the team hasn't gotten a whole lot better, but you're also dealing with Yoenis Cespedes sitting out with an injury all year and eating up a big chunk of salary. So I just think you're gonna have to move some more pieces around and wait to see how quickly the new ownership will invest the money to help out that part.
I got to imagine Met fans are probably excited, though, to get –
I don't think they're ever excited.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good point.
I think they're always dreading what's happening.
Fans, right?
Yeah.
Are there any of those?
I don't know. I don't know. And I like David Fisdale. He's a USD guy now. Oh, he's gone, so I have no Nick reason to watch. Sweeney, really appreciate it. I know you're on your way out. I did hear the Yankees were thinking about a twin single A guy who's exposed in the Rule 5 draft.
I highly doubt
he's never made it. He's got a lot of potential. You could hide him on the roster all year long. You might want to stay for
that. I think that guy actually won them a couple games last season, Ben. So it actually
I just want to make sure I don't get lost on the Rule 5. I like to
That's
stay
true.
In the family here, so I'm going to make sure I don't get picked.
Passing bomb for you right here, Sweeney. Brett Gardner, $12.5 million one
That's
more.
That's a really good deal.
That's a good deal.
That's a great deal. Yep. You know, I think we expected him to come back. That's actually probably a higher number than I thought once he got this deep. That's a really good number for him.
So, yeah, 1 year with an option.
Club option for 20.
So there you go. There we go.
Welcome. First with the news was George King.
You could have had it first if you hadn't been talking to us.
I know.
If I had been on my phone, if I had stayed by my phone.
We blew this
that's
for
good.
You.
George King with the news, 12.5.
Yep.
And, okay, I like it. There you go.
Safe flight back to New York. I'm sure it's 72 and sunny.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful when you get back. Thanks so much, Sweeney.
Happy holidays.
That was a fun, very impromptu interview.
Yeah, it was great. We needed it bad.
We definitely roped him in. I think he enjoyed himself
he did.
In the long run, even though he was started against his will talking to us. By the end, I think he had a good time.
Yeah, he was really good, and he's very informed.
Good morning to you, Woods. It's good to see you.
Hi, Benny. It's good to see you. Had a great time with you last night at the holiday party.
It should be a free-flowing Friday. Because of that, I didn't do the full notes or anything, so we'll just kind of wing it until 9 o'clock.
Did you go home last night, or did you pass out in like an office in the back?
I went home. I did. I came back. See, if I passed out in an office, I might have been here a few minutes earlier, but we did go. I had to get Shelly home.
So James tweets in right away, Ben. He says, well, you guys want to talk about other topics other than sports. Got to love the Brits. Darn. He wants us to talk about the British election. If that happens, I'm leaving. I will sound so more uninformed than I do about sports, which is
Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party, landslide victory.
Okay.
If you're interested, Woodsy.
I'm not. in the sliders.
All right. Well, we'll get some hammer time when we come back.
Oh,
a fun
I can't
Friday.
Wait.
Back to the Intercom Empire Studios.
I love it. Feels so comfortable.
Like a warm blanket for Woods.
It is, man.
It's Ben and Woods. Glad to have you with us here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, it's kind of funny, Woods. You spend a lot of time off the air complaining about the fact we don't get to go out and do as many appearances as everyone else.
We're
always stuck here. Why don't they set something up? And then we finally get out for 4 days.
Not complain.
Like, I can't wait to get back to the warm comfort of our studios.
Appearances and remotes are very different things.
Yeah, may I clarify? Paid remotes are different. Paid remotes on a Sunday going to watch football with the tier ones. Now, those are fun because you sit, you don't have to broadcast, you watch football, you drink beer, you eat wings, and you hang out and talk smack. Now, the remote broadcast is just different. There's no computer in front of me. I don't have our beloved coffee machine. I don't have our beloved hammer. Like, that to me is, now the paid appearance is different than the remote.
Now,
I never,
I'll admit it's a harder challenge to do a show when you're not here.
Oh, yeah.
But to me,
it was fun.
Radio, I love getting out and doing radio outside the studio.
Well, the cool thing is just the randoms, you know, the random people that you see, the random people that walk by, especially at the winter meeting. So I thought 3 days was probably perfect. I thought day four yesterday was a tad, and I tried subtly in a text message to our boss. I tried very subtly to see if he'd be like, you know what, just bang it. Just be back in the studio on Thursday. I sent him like, hey, quick question. You know, you're the pro at this. I'm not. You think it's going to be dead tomorrow? He's like, well, no, I think it'll still be good. So it was pretty rough yesterday.
It was. Yeah, 3 days would have been fine. You're right. But one of the reasons I got into radio is whenever – when you go out to a restaurant and you saw the show broadcasting live, and I was fascinated watching them do that out live remotes, out in a parking lot before a game, wherever they set it up. It's just like, wow, this looks like the coolest job.
Now,
I would love to do this.
I wonder, because I've been doing radio exclusively for 10 years. You've been doing television and then some radio, now radio full time as well. Am I just over it because I've done
Didn't
it so
catch
much?
The game?
I know. I don't think you're just over it. You're a homebody.
That's you.
That's your personality. Is you like to stay at home,
and I think that
transfers over to your radio personality as well. You like to kind of stay at home, at least when it comes to the show where we're going to broadcast.
This is our domain. You know, like this is our hood, our nest. This is our cave. This is where we feel. I feel like we do our best work here. Paul is at a severe disadvantage. This is going to hurt your feelings, Paul, and I'm not trying to. I think if we have to do that again, I think you should stay here.
Okay.
So that you can work because your magic, you didn't get to work your magic. Not that Jordan did a bad job. You didn't get to work your magic on, you know, audio and playing drops and things like that. Like, that's where Paul is at his best.
There's nothing worse, though, than being the victim of your own competence in
Isn't
a job.
That the, like, hey, man, you're too good at your job. We cannot promote you. And that happens in radio all the time.
I've heard it plenty of times.
All the time. Like, Paul, you can't go anywhere. You're not. This is what you do. You're really good at it. So I can't promote. We can maybe get you more money, but we cannot lose you.
I think there's a lot of people out there who have experienced that. Whatever their job is, it's not just radio where you feel like I want to move up in the world. You know, I want to make more money. I want to have a better title, and it's like I'm ready to go. It's like you're so valuable in the position where you are. You do such a good job. I don't know how we replace you. So they just don't. It's just like you're stuck there because you're so good. You're now putting Paul into that box, a victim of his own competence.
That's exactly right. I mean, and there's a compliment in there. Like, you're really good at what you do. If you have other aspirations, I'm sorry. You don't get to live them. Because we couldn't do this without you. So, but I mean, what do you think, Paulie? You know, what about 2 days on, like something like that where you're with us for a day and then you come back? Because you here at the mothership on the, you know, he's got four screens in front of him. He's got all kinds of stuff he can do. He does magic. We've all heard it. You know, that's where you're best.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know what you're asking me.
I really don't either, because we don't really have anything planned.
He just wants to keep you under his thumb.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Keeping you down.
You're like, come back, like, what, if I get another job, come back, like, 1 or 2 days a week? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying the next, if we have to go 4 days somewhere, I prefer you on the board.
Just let's be honest, that will never happen.
That's not happening again. It's true.
Woodsy, now, you are getting out tonight, again.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm going to fantasy camp next month with you. Can I go to that?
I'm gonna two days here, 2 days of fantasy camp next month. Yeah,
now you're good. Me and you together, we'll be rolling it.
You are. You're getting out again tonight. You came out for the holiday party last night. You're going out again tonight, and I'm gonna go.
Am I allowed to go to that?
Yeah,
you're coming. Watching and cheering you on.
Oh, you're coming.
Well, I'm not actually going to be cheering against you tonight, but
what a deal.
Well, I have to, because Shelly's playing for the new media team representing the Down at Our Rendezvous podcast against your old media team at the Soccer's Halftime Celebrity Soccer Game when they are down at Pechanga Arena tonight for their game.
I'm going to basically be living at Pechanga Arena this weekend. We've got the Soccer's game tonight. We got the Seals home opener tomorrow. I am pretty excited for tonight. I haven't played soccer again since I was six. I was on the Silver Wings.
Have you ever played indoor soccer at all?
No.
It's different.
It's way different. So I was watching some videos last night of some indoor soccer, and it's not easy. It's not easy, and I screwed up, too. I thought the game originally was like 15 minutes. So I put out the feelers for all the players that I wanted for old media, and I had two guys write back and say, yeah, I'm in, but I only play goalkeeper. And I wanted to play goalkeeper, but they're actually pretty good goalkeepers, so I think I'm going to be out on the floor now, which is, I don't know how that's going to go. But I'm going to put the good guys in goal. I want to win this thing. You know, I want to win this thing. So it still breaks my heart that Shelly Higgins is going to be playing against us, that Ben is
going to just wear a shirt that says Go Media?
Go Media.
Go Media. You want me to split one of those parents who has players on both teams, so they wear the jersey split. That's been sewn together right in the middle with one half team on one side and the other half team on the other side.
Well, I mean, like, if Shelly's team wins, then you're going to be happy. But I feel like if we win, you're also going to be happy for us. It's me, Paul, and Hammer. Like, 3 out of 4 of your show is going to be playing against your wife. Now, I understand where your allegiances have to lie. Just give me a little wink if you feel me, though. You're going to be happy
twice
for us, right?
If you'll be happy for
he
us.
He is blinking, so that's... Not even the same thing, but yeah, it should be fun.
Can you wink with both eyes? I can only do the one. I can't do the right eye. I can only do both. The left. You can?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. Very nice.
Boom, boom, boom. Can also flip my eyelids if you want to see that.
Great facial control by Woodsy, which is really important in radio.
But no, it's going to be fun tonight. I'm really nervous. Are you nervous, Paul?
It's going to go by so fast.
It's like seven minutes.
It's halftime.
I've seen who's playing on the other team. I'm not nervous at
all. Of a soccer game.
Point.
It's going to go by very quickly. Your head's going to spin, and then you're going to be off the field. Just have a good time.
I will.
Enjoy yourself. We're going to talk to our buddy Brian Farber on the Soccers is going to join us coming up later this morning. Craig Elston, who is their... What is their vice president of whatever they, you know, Craig, who's
marketing.
Yeah. He's pretty much puts together all the fun stuff with the Soccers now and broadcasts their games as he's done for a very long time. They're going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk a little bit about getting some people down to Pechanga Arena tonight and throughout the soccer season. They're just starting their season as well. Last couple of weeks, just like the Seals are getting started tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So our indoor winter seasons of sports.
It's pretty fun, man. It's going to be a fun one tonight. My wife is not coming. She's coming tomorrow to the Seals home opener, but does not want to see me embarrass myself tonight.
And, she wants to see you embarrass yourself tomorrow night.
Well, see, tomorrow night I'm really comfortable. I'm really good at that. Again, I haven't played soccer since I was six on the Silver Wings, and I have no idea what to expect. None whatsoever. I want to make sure I get everybody in. That's one thing. But I also want to win. You know, I want to make sure we win the game, and it's getting chippy. It's getting chippy online already. You know, some of the more athletic guys are running mouth, and we'll see how that goes. They put somebody in the wall.
Well, good luck with that.
I'm not going to put Shelly in the wall. I will take her out though if I have to win.
Please be careful.
Okay, I will.
Please be careful. All right. Also today, coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, we will chat with Colin Wilson from the Action Network. Get you ready. Not much college football this weekend. I think just Army Navy. But we do have some NFL action to talk about and preview week 15 of the NFL season, which started last night As expected, the Baltimore Ravens taking care of business at home against the New York Jets. 42-21 was the final on Thursday Night Football. Congratulations to Lamar Jackson, who is really solidifying his MVP credentials here. 5 touchdown passes, and he broke Michael Vick's quarterback rushing record for a single season with a couple of games to go. Lamar Jackson, I don't know what he would have to do to lose the MVP at this point, but I think he's pretty much locked it up.
I watched some highlights because we were at the Intercom holiday party last night. I mean, again, 2 late touchdowns in the fourth quarter by the Jets, or else this thing is an even bigger blowout. My dumbass took the points, the Jets and the points. I've probably lost $1,000 on the Jets, of all people, this season.
That seems unwise.
It's not real smart.
I mean, it's one thing, like, if you bet on the Patriots and they're just not covering and you're losing money, but actively betting on the Jets over and over and over again does seem like a mistake.
I'm an idiot.
Lamar, I just watched some of these highlights. Just,
it's insanity.
I mean, he has been so good this season, and it really, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere. He wasn't bad last year, but the way his season ended in that playoff game against the Chargers of all teams just looked like, okay, he's kind of got a ceiling here. I mean, yeah, he's going to keep the Baltimore Ravens at 9-7, 10-6, but this isn't a guy who can quarterback a team to a Super Bowl title or a 14-2 record, and that's exactly what they're heading toward, at least. 14-2 is still in the equation for the Ravens, who are 12-2, number one seed in the AFC, should make them a pretty strong favorite to reach the Super Bowl. Again, I'm not counting out the Patriots and Tom Brady. They haven't looked good, but somehow I still feel there's a postseason switch that might get flipped in January. But right now, I mean, they have to go to Baltimore if they were going to meet in an AFC championship game, and that's going to make it a lot tougher. And right now, Lamar Jackson looks incredibly comfortable, whether he's passing, whether he's running. The one thing you're worried about if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, obviously, is always health.
That's it.
With a quarterback that's running around all over the place.
His RPO, his run pass option, is stupid. I mean, it's like you have no idea who to key on. He threw 5 touchdown passes last night. He is having an all-time season. I think he's clearly the MVP. And the way, again, I said it the last time I watched him play, the way he throws his receivers open is like, it's the accuracy. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a game last night. Again, 5 more touchdowns in the books for him. 42-21 over the hapless New York Jets, Benny.
All right, so and this weekend you've got, I don't know, there's not any critical matchups. Rams-Dallas is pretty big. In the NFC, certainly on Sunday afternoon, that was one that kind of grabs my attention. Houston-Tennessee in the AFC is a critical matchup in the AFC South. Those teams
are
now tied for first place, and the winner obviously has a huge, huge leg up going into the final couple of games of the season. So those are kind of the big ones, I think, that I'm looking at this weekend. And speaking of the Houston Texans, we happen to have a gigantic Houston Texans fan in studio right now as we go back to the usual 550 Hammer Time. Paul, caught
That's
off guard.
Cue,
it's been a couple
Paul.
Of days.
You know what? Just come out to remotes with us. I don't need you here in the studio. I think Jordan.
See what I'm doing over here?
Yeah.
Yes, he's no longer a victim of his own confidence.
Can't
Darn.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Hammer Time.
Yes.
So good to see you again, Hammer.
Live Hammer Time. Long. Oh, he's got a beautiful, ugly sweater on with
it's
a hood.
Not ugly at all.
Have you been wearing that all week, or
no,
is that just today?
Okay. I've been waiting for you guys to get back.
Okay. It's like a celebration.
Montreal Expos hat on?
Yeah. Old school. Looks
love that Expos logo. I always thought it said Elbs, and I didn't know why.
It also could say Elo, if you look at it closely.
Yeah,
Chris Elo always likes to claim that's his logo, because it says Elo, but
that Elo.
It's an M.
He's a real cut-up.
Good morning, Hammer. What's on your mind today?
So I was watching The Simpsons this morning, and it was the episode where Homer freaks out because he can't remember anything in his life. And he's like, oh, I can't remember anything in my 38 years, which, of course, he's wrong about because he's actually 39.
Right.
And so it got me thinking, if you had no idea what your age was, knowing everything you know about yourself, how old would you say you were?
Ooh, I like this one.
Oh, this is an easy one.
So I can look
like,
in the mirror.
How old do you feel?
I can look in the mirror, but I can also feel myself. Is it? Can I look in the mirror or not?
No, it's just basically how you feel. It's,
you can feel yourself.
Your soul. How old is your soul?
More than welcome to.
Eyes closed.
At least twice a day.
Just how I feel, how I think. I am. This is a great question. I am 72.
70, you're gonna die soon.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just the combined, just kind of how fatigued I always feel.
Probably from touching yourself.
The fact that I'm not really a risk taker. I'm kind of conservative in my choices. I would think I'm pretty old,
well,
actually.
It's funny because it goes that way for me, too, because I'm exhausted.
My back hurts a lot.
I'm exhausted all of the time. I abused myself in my 30s, in my 20s and 30s, the likes of which few have ever seen. And I sometimes, though, mentally, I feel like a 14-year-old.
See, that's what I'm leaning more towards. Like, I think I'm like early teenage years.
Yeah, this is your first time on Earth.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Totally.
Like, Hammer is, like, I don't, yeah, you're childlike, but not, like, an idiot.
I'm living my first life in terms of, like, if you believe in reincarnation,
right.
Like, oh, man, this guy's finally getting his chance at being a human.
Yes.
Like, nah, somebody just made a soul and
that's
put me on this.
Brand,
well, that's
brand
because you look at the whole world with the wonder of a child.
Yes. Yeah,
which
the
is
wonderment.
Great.
It's
I
great.
Mean, yeah, you just, everything is, like, new and fresh to Hammer.
Yeah, that's exactly
like
right.
Like a dog with his head out the window.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
A dog with his head out the window. I'm a lot jaded, very jaded human, very bitter about a lot of things. But I also, you know, can be pretty happy at times, but I
juvenile
really,
sense of humor.
Juvenile sense of humor. But you know what? You know who else has that? Old people. Like, my grandfather had a juvenile sense of humor.
Oh, my poppy's a sick dude.
That's
man.
Exactly right.
Oh,
I will
he's
be
disgusting.
I'll be that guy, but I feel my body sometimes, just the things I put it through back in the day, I feel like I'm an old, old man.
Paul?
I was going to say, is it weird that I feel right around
your
my age?
Yeah, no, I can see that. I
mean,
absolutely
like maybe
can
a couple
see that.
Years older, but yeah, I'd say I'm right around like 30.
This business has aged me tremendously.
Oh, I'm the
tremendously.
Opposite.
Tremendously.
Yeah. I feel like this business, in terms of like just being into it, I feel so young. Like, oh, I don't know this. I don't know that. This is fun to learn.
Just
I think part
wait.
Of it for me, too, is, you know, we had our kids pretty young.
Yes.
So, you know, I've got teenagers. I feel that kind of weight of parenthood for many, many years. Woods, of course, is still a new parent. You guys don't have kids yet. That adds a little weight to your shoulders, knowing that you're like responsible for
another
a couple
life.
Of other people for a long time. That's just part of it, I think.
Yeah, it's basically you just try to keep them alive until it's nap time, and then you try to keep them alive until it's time for them to go to bed.
Keep them alive during nap time, too.
And then the second they go to bed, you're just like, oh, thank God I did it, and I got to do it again tomorrow. And that's pretty
much it. The crazy thing for me that I've considered now a couple of times is that, you know, biologically, I'm certainly now old enough to be a grandfather.
Yes.
Now, hopefully that does not happen for a while, just, you know. My kids are definitely not ready to be parents, so
no.
I hope that we're still a good at least 10 to 15 years away from that. But
I'm going
to
be the oldest grandfather ever. Clearly.
I hope you make it until then.
So do I. I would love to see that. But based on my son's actions at the holiday party last night,
I could be a couple years.
I could be
yeah,
like 14 years. The guy would be like, hey, what do you want from me? She's 25. And I mean, the guy is, he's got mad skills already, and he's two.
You know what it's going to be? It's Adam Sandler. What? That's my boy?
That's my boy, yeah.
Dude, just like keep slaying it, man.
It's the worst movie, but there's so many good parts in it.
It's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies.
It's fine, yeah. It's passable because it's. It could happen to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it could happen. Thanks, Hammer.
Or Bo.
Stop. Hammer time.
Again, very good to see your smiling face. It
I
does
bright,
it brightens
no
my
idea.
Day that we get to see Hammer at least once this week.
There's
I have
no
not,
doubt.
I actually, I mean, until the holiday party last night, I was off the last couple of days last week, and then we were downtown for the winter meetings the first 4 days. I hadn't even been in this building. It felt like in forever.
It's been a while.
So it's I had to remember how to get here. It's been so long. We do have, as I mentioned, good show coming up on a Friday. It's a loose, freewheeling show. We do want to kind of review the entirety of the winter meeting.
Yep.
Since we did spend 4 days there, it was pretty active. There was a lot of news that went down. The Padres weren't the most active team down there, but it certainly sounds like A.J. Preller's still working on at least one more move for the Padres before spring training. So we will definitely get into that. We've got our usual features, including some real or fake, coming up in our next hour. Don't do this. And Ben Reed's Raps, it's been a while. I'll say that because it's been a couple of weeks. So we'll get to that coming up. Glad to have everybody with us. We have finally reached Friday. Long week right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.